Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. The confession that came earlier this week by Mark McGuire that he had indeed taken steroids and other illicit chemicals during the time that he was breaking the home run record in Major League Baseball. We're talking about a major confession from a man who had had, well, what can only be described as heroic status in the minds of many. Which has led to an interesting question. It's leading to parents perhaps asking some good questions, and frankly, all of us need to join in the question. Who are our heroes and why? And if Mark McGuire was a hero but is not now a hero because it turned out that he had taken anabolic steroids and other forbidden substances during the time that he was indeed reaching and breaking these records in Major League Baseball, you know, how do you help your children to determine who they're going to consider to be the heroes of their lives? There are very interesting issues at stake here. Paul Johnson, the great historian, in his book entitled Heroes, deals with the fact that the criteriology for determining a hero is never as clear as you might think. But because as much as you would want the hero of someone's imagination and aspiration to be someone who's basically laudable and admirable in every way, it turns out that no one, no single human being, is able to be admirable, respectable, laudable on every single category. In his book, again, entitled Heroes, Paul Johnson considers people like Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Winston Churchill, Charles de Gaulle. And there's no doubt that Charles de Gaulle is one of the most arrogant human beings ever to set foot on the planet. However, he did help France to recover and even to stay alive during the dark days of the Nazi occupation and beyond. Winston Churchill, a man who was probably written off as a political crank by most people in Great Britain between the two wars, was the man that literally saved Western civilization. You can go down the list. Julius Caesar, was he great and heroic? Well, certainly in terms of his military exploits and frankly, many of his legal innovations as well. But obviously his pride and hubris, his Achilles heel, as they say. Alexander the Great, someone else. So he was a hero to many, absolutely legendary. Was so magnificent on the battlefield that basically no one from Napoleon on has been considered his equal. But on the other hand, there was a great deal about Alexander the Great that wasn't admirable at all. And now, when we're talking about sports heroes, it seems that we've all of a sudden reached a different category altogether. Earlier this week, I mentioned the article about Bill Livingston, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and he was talking about Tiger Woods, another scandal of late in which a person who'd been greatly respected, many young people thinking about playing golf and thinking about sports had greatly admired Tiger Woods. Here you have a man who's given himself to his sport, undeniably reached a great pinnacle of influence and achievement. And yet it turned out that there's a great moral failure at the very center of his life. It turns out that it really cracks the picture of who we thought Tiger Woods was. Bill Livingston, writing this article, says that when you start thinking about athletic figures for heroes, you start thinking about sports heroes, it turns out, he says, the society that pins heroic status on these individuals is going to be disillusioned. Now, he makes a very interesting argument. Just listen to this. He says, world-class athletes grow up in the spotlight. Many are not allowed to actually grow up at all. The first decade of this century was marred by sports scandals. The greatest records in baseball were broken by players who happily surrendered their bodies and souls to money and glory. The biggest star of the Sydney Olympics was a drug cheat. The sluggers, the great pitchers, who were tasked with getting them out, sprinter Marion Jones, they became the best in the business. I enjoyed watching their skills, he says, but I don't know who they really are. I only know the picture they have painted for me to see. Speaking about who is really heroic, he writes that the greatest heroes out there are common people. He says, by that I mean a salute to the parents and coaches, the teachers and mentors who relay the sensible, grounded, ordinary lessons that make for decency. Real life, he says, trumps fantasy. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there who are saying, you know, we don't need heroic figures. We don't need these kind of figures as models of aspiration. But I'm going to counter that and say that I think we do. And whether we want to admit that we have them or not, I think they're there. When you visit my study, you quickly find out who my heroes are. The portraits on my walls, and there are many, include people like Martin Luther, great hero to me in terms of his theological courage in the Reformation, but Martin Luther had feet of clay as well. Not that invalidated his ministry by any means, but he was a man of his own times with all those same limitations. I've got two oil portraits of Winston Churchill in my office. I love Winston Churchill. I have an entire library by and about Winston Churchill. And I'm absolutely fascinated, visiting Blenheim Palace, visiting the cabinet war rooms. Those are great moments in my life because I think Winston Churchill, from the time I was about 12 or 13 years old, has been a subject of tremendous fascination. My heroes tend to be drawn from church history, Augustine, that is, Athanasius, and so many others, and from history, persons such as Winston Churchill and so many others who really were heroic. If very human. There are others who have had heroes drawn from many different sectors of life. But I just want us to think about that. On this Friday, where we're kind of thinking about, well, the events of the last few days and what they mean. When you start thinking about what really has happened in terms of the toppling of some of the figures, especially from sports, who are your heroes? Who are the heroes that you would want your children to look up to? Now, I've got to admit, this is a male voice on this program, and my heroes when I was growing up as a boy, you can pretty much figure out that I was looking for those who had won battles and saved cities and, as the book of Hebrews says, stop the mouths of lions. But heroines are important too, not just heroes. Let's talk about what you would want your children to look for when they're looking for a hero. I would like for you to tell me, perhaps, whatever your age, who are the heroes in your life? Who are the people who inspired you? This is a good conversation for us to have. Who was it from the time that perhaps you were a child or a teenager or a young person? Who was it that you thought of when you thought of what you would aspire to be? Not necessarily to do, but to be. Who are the heroes that really captivated your attention? This is a good topic for intelligent Christian conversation because let's remember that the Bible itself holds up those we are to emulate. The Bible itself holds up the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It holds up the apostles. It holds up those. Just consider Hebrews chapter 11 and that phenomenal passage about this pantheon of faithfulness. Let's remember that we are told to follow their example. And it just so happens that I think God made us such that we crave illumination and inspiration from others. I'd like to know where you find your heroic models and who you want your children to grow up to think are heroic. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We've had to talk about some tough things this week. And as a matter of fact, when we're going to get to that conversation about heroes in a moment, let me tell you where a lot of the heroes are right now. They're on the ground, boots on the ground in Haiti. And as you're praying for the nation of Haiti, and we talked about this over the last few days and especially yesterday on this program, let's remember that heroism is not just about aspiration, it's about actually doing. And right now, even though we are being told that what we do not need, and this is a pretty emphatic voice from those leading the rescue efforts, they do not need a lot of people heading for Haiti right now. They do need a lot of assistance. And right now, the United States is taking the lead in this. The United States Armed Forces, we've got an aircraft carrier, frigates, and other vessels at or nearby Haiti now. We have American boots on the ground. We've got some significant action going on. But, folks, the despair in Haiti is reaching the breaking point because there are people who have now spent multiple nights outdoors, exposed. There are no grocery stores where people can get food. There is no sewage system, no water system. There is no power, very little communication. And so we're dealing with people who right now were not immediately killed by the earthquake, but may die of anything from infectious disease to any number of other things, including a breakout of violent crime. So let's be praying for those who are headed to Haiti, as well as for those who right now are in Haiti, especially for the victims of the earthquake that took place just days ago. We're talking about an opportunity in which you really find out about human nature. That's interesting. In the crucible of this kind of emergency, you find out who people really are. And some of the people you thought wouldn't care are right now, hands in the rubble trying to save people. And some of the people you thought would be most helpful are not. You find out in a crucible who people really are. And in the crucible of this particular catastrophe, well, let's just remember that even as a lot of nations don't want the United States anywhere nearby, when something gets broken, they want the U.S. there fast. And I am thankful to be a part of a nation that right now is able to respond, not only would intend to respond. There are many nations around the world would like to be able to make a decisive difference. But I'm telling you, I am very thankful that right now there are people in the American uniform, as well as those, of course, who are serving as missionaries and humanitarian workers in the United States who were there even before the earthquake struck, and they have stayed there and will be there. We'll be talking this program about how we can help in days and weeks ahead, but right now, let's pray for the people of Haiti, pray for those who are helping. There are going to be some new heroes out of this. Let's talk about this when you come back. Who were the heroes when you were growing up, and why? Who do you want your children to see as heroic? And how do you handle this whole question when you think about what we sometimes come to know about those we have admired? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. When indeed the Duke of Wellington was back in London after having secured the British victory over Napoleon, many of the crowds that came out to protest the Duke's arrival said, no heroes, no heroes. In other words, there were those that did not want any heroes, even someone who had saved the nation from the domination of Napoleon Bonaparte. That they wanted no heroes because, after all, the existence of someone of heroic stature means that we are all called to aspire to a similar kind of opportunity, a similar kind of character. Culture thrives on the heroic. Civilizations require heroes. And it has always, it seems, been such. Someone's picture will be on the coin. Someone will be wearing the medal standing on the pedestal. Someone is going to be the one who leads, and others will be the ones who follow. But one of the complexities of heroism is that often the most heroic are the ones least known. And when we're dealing with the kind of scandals we've had lately with Tiger Woods, Mark McGwire, you get on the entire catalog of sports figures, and then political figures as well, governmental figures. And then not to mention frankly, every realm and dimension of life, there have been those who have turned out to be not what we thought they were, not who we thought they were. And I'm especially concerned that in a time like this, with the blogs and the 24/7 news coverage and the kind of ubiquitous celebrityism all around us, there could be those who say, look, I'm just giving up on heroes. And I'm just going to tell you as one, I don't think boys can do without heroes. And I think girls probably too in their own way. But I can just say, I think there's something in boys that requires a hero. And I think it's a part of our responsibility as parents just to say, all right, let's make sure that we encourage our sons and our daughters to look for the right kind of heroes and heroines. And I think it's the topic for the kind of Christian conversation we should have on a day like this. We've been discussing a lot of heavy issues. This one's important, but it's also one that requires us to kind of look back as adults and say, all right, who really inspired me? Who encouraged me? Who were the heroes? I've told you about a couple of my own, Martin Luther and Winston Churchill. I'll tell you about a few others. And all throughout life, I'll tell you, these have been important to me. Elton Trueblood, a theologian. I wrote my honors thesis on Elton Trueblood as an undergraduate years ago. Elton Trueblood said, every life requires a perpetual vision of greatness. And he said, we see that encapsulated and embodied in human beings who give us courage. And that's certainly been true. I'll tell you, there have been times in my life when just thinking about what others have done, it's been a real encouragement to me to do likewise. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Who are your heroes? Who were your heroes? How do you choose one? How do you help your children to be wise in choosing figures they're going to think of as heroic? Let me tell you, I believe many of the heroes are the people we never get to meet. And some of these heroes are those of literature. Thomas Babington Macaulay, that's Lord Macaulay. Of course, famous essayist, he lived 1800, 1859. He wrote one of those pieces of literature that every single human being ought to read, in the English language world anyway, and certainly every boy. Speaking of Horatius at the bridge, the great, great military victory and defense by this young man, this boy of great, great character. You'll remember the story, and I don't have time to retrace it, but you know, the last four stanzas of Horatius at the bridge were some of the most inspiring literature when I was a boy. You know about a hero. Listen to this. And this is how it concludes, you remember? And still his name sounds stirring unto the men of Rome, as the trumpet blast that calls them to charge the Volscian home. And wives still pray to Juno for boys with hearts as bold as his who kept the bridge so well in the brave days of old. And in the nights of winter, when the cold north winds blow, and the long howling of the wolves is heard amidst the snow, when round the lonely cottage roars loud the tempest din, and the good logs of Agatis roar louder yet within, when the oldest cask is opened and the largest lamp is lit, when the chestnuts glow in the embers and the kid turns on the spit, when young and old encircle round the firebrand's close, when the girls are weaving baskets and the lads are shaping bows, when the good man mends his armor and trims his helmet's plume, and the good wife's shuttle merrily goes flashing through the loom, with weeping and with laughter still is the story told how well Horatius kept the bridge in the brave days of old. Well, there was an heroic figure. And, all you have to do is read. Someone did something that led someone to write a poem like that, and that has given courage to so many people in successive centuries and generations. Who are your heroes? Are there any heroes left? Are we in an age that produces no heroes and admires no heroes? As a Christian parent, how do you help think through these things, and your children think through these things, and come up with the right heroes? And the right understanding in a fallen world of what we should and should not expect from one who is a hero or heroine. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to St. Louis, Missouri. Pam's listening on the World Wide Web. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, I definitely think there's heroes, and I don't think they're the ones that we like see on TV. I think they're the people that just stop by and say an encouraging word or help somebody out not even knowing them. I have many heroes in my life that are people that just encourage me and lift me up throughout life. To me, those are heroes.
Pam, very kind word. Let me just ask you a question about when you were a child. Were there any persons that when you were a girl that you looked to, you said, I really admire them? Or did you have pretty much the same view of heroism back then?
Well, I have to say my heroes were more mythological gods, because I grew up in a very abusive home, and to me, I wanted to be the one that held the world on my shoulders and took care of it all and was the sacrificial lamb for everybody, because humans couldn't take care of their problems. So that was where I guess I kind of looked. And Johnny Cash was a big hero to me.
All right. Pam, I appreciate your candor and your honesty in answering that. Let me tell you, I hope everyone was listening carefully there. There you heard Pam with her own voice say, then in a very difficult circumstance, she was so desperate to reach out for models that she was even looking to the mythological gods of Greece and Rome. And, by the way, that raises a host of issues. One of them is that the Greeks and the Romans in terms of their mythology, they intentionally never allowed, of course, they were creating these are literary figures. They created them in such a way that they were never fully heroic. They did heroic things, but they all had some major character flaw, some major incapacity that tripped them up. And that's one of the reasons why when we're talking about the one true and living God, we're not talking about someone who is heroic, because heroic means you have someone who is a human whom we aspire to be like in the sense that we can do what he did. He's heroic precisely because he is one of us. And that's why there's severe limitations here. That's why we're talking about Christ as our example. He's far more than our hero. He's our Savior. He not only inspires us, he redeems by his own sacrifice on the cross. He saves. But, by the same token, I can look and say the Apostle Paul, he's a hero. Peter, James, John, Moses, Abraham. It's a long list. Daniel, we want our children to want to be a Daniel, not just to sing a little song. We want them actually to want to grow up with that kind of courage. Who are your heroes? Who were they when you were growing up? What does that tell you? And how are you helping your children and young people to negotiate the currents of heroism in this postmodern and very confused age? Give me a call at 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, the real models of heroism in terms of courage and character are ones that many people never see. And, you know, every mother who takes care of her children, every man who sacrifices to provide for his family, every parent who gives his or her all and then more, that's a model of heroism right there. I'll tell you, a model of heroism comes to my mind is someone like Robertson McWilkin, who had been president of Columbia Bible Seminary, Bible College, who left to take care of his wife in the years of her great need. And, you know, that surprised a lot of people. And yet that's a real model of heroism because his marital vows took priority over every other of his responsibilities for work. And that's heroism, a pastor who hangs in there under tremendous opposition and continues to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. There's a hero. And frankly, every single child or young person who stands against the tide because he knows what is right and does what is right rather than what is wrong and popular, that's heroic. But I think we also need the publicly known, well-known folks who either, well, by history and circumstance creating the opportunity of heroism or by just long service, they reach a point where you realize there's someone I really want to emulate. Let's talk about your heroes. I think it's fascinating. I mentioned some of the portraits hanging on my wall. And, you know, if you come into my house, come into my study, my library, you're going to discover my heroes. I mentioned Martin Luther, the best we know of Athanasius, Augustine. You're going to find all kinds of figures and secular ones, too. I don't mind telling you that I've got some major figures on my wall. I've got Teddy Roosevelt hanging on my wall and a bust of Roosevelt. I've got a bust of John Bunyan. I've got a bust of Charles Spurgeon and two or three portraits of Charles Spurgeon. I have three framed photographs of Ronald Reagan, one of him walking with Margaret Thatcher. And then I have my favorite portrait of Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain. And that's when I'm in the picture talking to her. That's my favorite portrait of Margaret Thatcher. I got to meet one of my heroines. And she certainly is one. And now that she's very much an advanced age and struggling with illness, I continue to respect and admire and always appreciate the opportunity to be able to spend a little time with Margaret Thatcher. And then I had the opportunity to meet Ronald Reagan. I was and there again, feet of clay, not a perfect man, not by any measure. He would be the first to say that. And judged by some issues of our Christian concern, you know, we got some basic questions. I can't tell you exactly what Ronald Reagan believed in terms of his personal faith. I do know that in terms of his public service, he achieved many things I think were heroic. And I can still remember as a 16-year-old boy the opportunity that I had to shake Governor Ronald Reagan's hand as I was working in his campaign in 1976. That seems like a lifetime ago. But as a 16-year-old, I got to shake the hand of Governor Ronald Reagan, and I was tempted not to wash my hands for several days. But that's just a reminder that there are figures. I tell you, I needed that at that age. I really did. I needed that. I needed someone I could look up to and draw inspiration from. I'm glad to say that, you know, those figures still exist. Who are they for your children? Who were they for you and why? The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to New Albany, Indiana. Dennis is listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Dennis.
Thank you, Dr. Mohler. My heroes are probably guys like Jim Elliott, Nate Saint, and the rest of the Ecuador Five, William Carey, Amy Carmichael, Hudson Taylor. We've got four children that are five and under, and we pray over them every night that God would call them to be missionaries and serve in ministry in some capacity somewhere around the world, whether it be locally or internationally. And those are those that I look up to, and that God had a call in their life, and they answered that call, and some of them ultimately to their death and serving God. And so those
Wow.
are the people that I think I look to.
God bless you, Dennis. I am so encouraged to hear that. You're talking about some of the great missionaries who served, some of them served all the way to martyrdom, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, and the others there in Ecuador. Others went in places where they were warned they'd be in grave danger, but they went to carry the gospel, and starting with William Carey and going on. I would add to the list that Dennis mentioned there, John Payton. And John Payton went to the islands of the Pacific, the New Hebrides, I believe. And when he was getting ready to go, an older man said, "John, if you go, you'll be eaten by cannibals." And he replied, "Sir, you may die here and you'll be eaten by worms. For the cause of the gospel, I just as soon be eaten by cannibals as eaten by worms." That, dear friends, is said by someone who's a hero. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I mentioned earlier that even in Scripture, there are persons held up for heroic status, the patriarchs. And again, they're very honestly presented. Scripture is so honest in presenting them. Take the character of David. Is David a hero? You bet he is. He is presented in Scripture as a hero to be admired, from whom we should learn, from whose example we should gain instruction. But of course, a part of that instruction, given his affair with Bathsheba, is of course a part of biblical honesty. That's why, by the way, David can't save us, but the Davidic Messiah can. Jesus saves, not David. But David is a hero, and so is Daniel, or just take the prophets of the Old Testament. You could go down the list. Ezekiel, heroic? Wow. Fulfilled a heroic function. But those who were in high school, so to speak, with Ezekiel probably didn't pick him out as the most likely to be heroic. That's interesting, too. Sometimes heroes emerge in their heroic status far later than you might think. The phone number is 877-893-8255. And let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Macy's listening on the World Wide Web. Go ahead, Macy.
Thanks, Dr. Mueller. I think that the comment that I would like to make is just that I've grown older. My concept of who a hero has changed really dramatically. The people that I look up to the most now are really strong and capable and smart women who may have given up lucrative careers and worldly acclaim to do things like raise godly children and support their husbands and manage their homes in a biblically faithful way. And these women used to appear at one point in my life really weak to me because I thought they were unable to, you know, quote unquote, make it in the real world. But I think these are just lies that culture offers to women, that to be a hero, you have to make a lot of money and be recognized by the world for some type of external accomplishment.
Maisie, well, that was just incredibly fine. And, you know, the honesty and power of your words, they were just magnificent. Because when I think about it, I'll tell you, as a man, as a husband, as a son, as a father, I can tell you that I do not know of a more heroic category than wife and mother. And I say it as a tribute not only to Mary, my own wife, but to all those from my mother on who've had that kind of role in my life. And then I just look at so many mothers who've given up so much and give up so much every single day. And, of course, not to leave dads out of this, dads have their own heroic role. And there's a sense in which, and I was hoping someone would say this, so I'm just going to articulate this. There's a sense in which what we really should strive for is that our children grow up to see their parents as heroic. Not perfect. Not a Superman and Superwoman, but instead as heroic. And there's something that should be important. Every little boy should look up to his dad as Superman. And then come to understand, no, he's not, but he is a hero. And the same when it comes to mom. The number is 877-893-8255. Thanks for your call, Macy. Let's go to Chandler, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Chandler.
Hello, Dr. Mueller. Thank you for taking my call. I guess some of my favorite heroes are some of the church fathers, like you mentioned, Athanasius. I guess the famous nickname, Athanasius Contra Mundum, against the world, that he would stand before, the faith against all the Arian heretics just is really inspiring to me. I guess all the fathers of Nicaea and Chalcedon and people like that who were willing to sacrifice and die for the faith, what might seem trivial for us today, but for them, that was everything. To me, that just really inspires me.
Wow. That's tremendous, and you have to have some knowledge. You know, Chandler, you're making another very interesting point, perhaps indirectly, by the way you just recited what you said with Athanasius versus Arius, so the Council of Nicaea, 83:25. Chandler is exactly right. The words we associate with Athanasius are contra mundum, because Athanasius was told by those who were sort of his advisors, you know, you do this, you just need to know the whole world's against you. Latin, mundum, world. And Athanasius responded, well, if the whole world is against Athanasius, then Athanasius is against the whole world. You got to love that kind of courage. It's the kind of courage that led Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms to stand before the Holy Roman Emperor and all the assembled prelates and say, my soul is captive to Scripture. My conscience is bound by Scripture. I must be convinced by Scripture. I cannot accept the authority of Pope or Council or anything other than Scripture. If you convince me by Scripture that I am wrong, I will correct. But unless you convince me by Scripture, I will not. And, of course, at that point, what you had from Martin Luther were those last words. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Hier stehe ich. Ich kann nicht ander. Gott helfe mich. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. That's an honest statement from a hero. I can't do this. Let's go to Baghdad. A call from Iraq coming from Greg. Listen on the World Wide Web. Greg, what a great thing to hear from Iraq. What do you think?
How you doing, Dr. Mueller?
I'm doing great. I'm doing even better to hear from you.
Well, glad to talk to you. And actually, I saw your comment on Facebook and was able to get through and call. And I just definitely want to say that I do believe there are still heroes in this world today, and I serve with them every day here in Iraq.
Well, let me tell you, Greg, I am absolutely certain you're right, and I am so thankful for your call. Let me ask you, how do you measure that in the context there? When you're talking about heroism, what are you looking for? What do you see?
Well, I see men, and in fact, the battalion that I serve with, is our motto is service with courage, and we're a support battalion. We support the infantry, and these are men and women who every day their mission is to supply the infantry, the frontline troops, with, you know, ammunition, food, water, whatever it takes, and they go wherever they need to go to make sure that these men and women have what they need so that they can provide the freedoms that that our country, you know, so richly deserves and needs to do. So,
Greg, I want to thank you so much for your call. I can't tell you how much it means to hear from someone there in Iraq, and it gives me the opportunity to say a word of thanks and heartfelt appreciation to you and to all those with whom you are serving, who are on our behalf literally in heroic and courageous service there in Iraq, also fellow colleagues in Afghanistan, and now some all over the world, and right now even streaming towards Haiti to help. Greg, to every single American wearing our uniform, I say God bless you, we pray for you, and thank you for that testimony to heroism. It's still there. And, you know, especially, let me just point out, this is an all-volunteer armed services. They were not drafted. They were not conscripted. They signed up for this. And that's one of the definitions I would give of courage. You're there, there's a need, and you go for it. There's a hero. God bless you, Greg. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. That was really encouraging. And, you know, there were certain things I just really wanted to make sure happened during the conversation we just had about heroism. I really wanted to make sure that at least someone spoke of parents, and especially of those moms and dads who are serving under great adversity, and husbands and wives in marriage. You know, there are heroes for the very fact that they are married rather than divorced, that they are faithful rather than unfaithful. And a lot of that is just sight unseen in terms of the fact that a lot of people around them may not know there were heroic decisions, there is heroic service, there's heroic forgiveness, there is heroic sacrifice, where we cannot see it. I also want to make sure that those who are wearing the American uniform around the world are recognized. Boy, I got to tell you, in this day, I really see them as heroic, doing heroic work. Now, again, this is in a context in which the very fact that they have volunteered for this demonstrates a bit of the heroic stature. Those who are drafted and conscripted can be heroic, too. But I got to tell you, there's a new level when you consider that every single man and woman in the American uniform right now signed up for this. They volunteered for this. They are there in a whole and newly meaningful way in our stead, in harm's way. And then there are so many other things. I appreciate those who look back to church history and the great models we have all the way from the early church fathers and, for that matter, the apostles, onward to those who right now are serving around the world for the cause of the gospel. And, of course, there are heroes and heroines right now on the ground in Haiti doing incredible things. And then in places around the world, again, sight unseen, where CNN and Fox News and MSNBC don't go, where we may never know this side of eternity. And, of course, there are heroes of biblical proportions serving nobly for the cause of Christ and the cause of the gospel everywhere. Let me mention one last word about heroism. You know, just in terms of how Christians think about this, I was warning that the reason why I think it's probably not most helpful to list Jesus as a hero is because he is far more than that. The definition of a hero, generally, throughout at least the popular conception in the literature, is one that we follow and one that represents that we could do that if we were in the same place. Well, Jesus did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. However, of course, that doesn't mean he's less than a hero. It means he's infinitely more, and we are indeed to emulate him, not because he's our hero, but because he is indeed our Savior. One last thought, though, when you add all this together, we're going to find out on the other side of the judgment of God who the true heroes and heroines were. I have a feeling in the kingdom of God, we're going to discover on the other side of the judgment, when we know things we cannot know now, when we find out God's verdict, we're going to find out there are a lot of heroes and heroines we never even knew about who are going to be really well known in the age to come. Thanks for today's intelligent Christian conversation about heroes and heroism. We'll be back next week. I'll meet you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.